questions. I see some question marks on top of your head. I hope the questions God will answer. Amen. So what we started a few weeks ago, we talked about the gift of hunger. We say that we need to be hungry for God. Well, there's a lot of things that we have talked about. But last week, we talked about this word called Dothan. Everybody say Dothan. Dothan is a place where Elisha encountered who? Where is Dothan? Dothan is where Joseph was sold as a slave. Remember, he was thrown into a pit. Maybe you all don't remember Bible story. He was thrown into a pit and the brothers betrayed him. In a place called Dothan, the father sent him there. And we say there's a prophetic picture of Jesus coming to save us. And then the second time it happened is when Elisha, the enemies come, the armies come, the servant wake up and say, oh yeah, how come so many armies, right?
Ben-Hadad.
King Ben-Hadad said, send the army. And then he said, open the eyes. And he saw, right? That's also Dothan. So last week we said Dothan is a very important place for all of us Christians. Why? Dothan speaks of at least two things. Number one, in everything that we go through in life, there are two perspectives. One is the natural thing that you look at. Hey, why am I going through this financial difficulty? I'm going through this health problem. Why is this happening? There is always another higher perspective in life. If Joseph was never thrown into the pit, if Joseph was never betrayed by the brothers, he will never become the Joseph that we know today. Have you ever thought of that? If Joseph has never been betrayed, not this Joseph, right? If Joseph in the Bible has never been betrayed and thrown into the pit, you will not have the story of Jesus today. So whatever that goes through in our life, there is always a higher perspective. Right now you don't see it, but from hindsight, I look at my life in the past. Why all these things happen? It served a purpose, a God-ordained purpose in our lives. Amen? So there are two perspectives we must know. And secondly, Dothan also speaks of door. And we looked at two verses in Revelation. If you all remember, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, a very familiar verse. Everybody, when they want to preach the gospel, they say, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Remember that? That's Revelation 3:20. In actual fact, in the context of the verse, John was writing to Christians that Jesus is standing at the door of their heart. It says, if you open the door, he will come in. That's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If you look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, see, there are two doors. When you open the door of your heart, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, behold, there is a door that is open in heaven. Wow. Did you know that? Everything in life, there is a natural and there is a spiritual. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, dine with him, and he with me. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I look and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Wow. If you and I learn to open the door of our hearts, God will open the door of heaven for you. We should be living under an open heaven. Amen. The door of the heaven must be open to us. Otherwise, we may be knocking at the door. We pray, knock, knock, knock. They use the description, it is like brass. You're knocking against a very hardened, your prayers go as high as the ceiling. But you see, there's a principle here about Dothan that is two doors. The door of the natural heart and the door of heaven. Amen? I want to go a little bit deeper today. Let's turn to Acts chapter 14. I'll read for you. Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Remember, Joseph must go through the first Dothan. He was betrayed. He suffered there. He went through suffering. The brothers betrayed him, sold to the Egyptians, thrown into the pit. But when it came to Elisha at the same place, because Joseph has gone through the suffering, Elisha had access to a flow of prophetic revelation, had a flow of the river of God in his life. He could hear what the enemy king said in the bedroom. He knew the enemy's strategies. There is no secret of the enemy that he did not know. Because of one door that has been opened by Joseph. Joseph has gone through the suffering. Elisha experienced the blessing and the flow. Because of Joseph speaking of Jesus, a prophetic picture of Jesus. Jesus has gone through the first door for you and me on the cross. That has to be always the foundation. Because of Jesus, what he has done, you and I can now access the second door of heaven, of revelation, of breakthrough, of healing. Whatever you want, that's in the second door. But nothing qualifies you unless Jesus has first gone to the first door. Isn't that amazing? How great our God is, Jesus. So it's a picture. The Bible is a beautiful picture. From the Old Testament, you have never wondered about this. But from the Old Testament, the gospel has begun to be proclaimed in symbol, in picture form. Amen? In at its infancy stage. So we look at Acts chapter 14. Look at what it says about the first door. Okay? Acts 14 verses 21 and 22. I'll read for you. When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, everybody say, everybody read that part, what did the disciples tell them? We must want to go. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Have you ever, in modern day Christianity, have you ever heard this type of teaching? But this happened in the midst of Acts, in the midst of revival. Acts was when the early church was born. There were signs, wonders, miracles. And being very responsible, the apostles, they went to strengthen them. He said, well, whatever you are going through, now I'm here to exhort you. And what they say, we must. It's a must, okay? It's not optional. You don't have a choice. We must, through one, two, three. What does it say? We must through many. You don't like that word, right? We must through many blessings. Suffering. Oh, suffering. Not so nice, right? All these words. Who likes all these words? Do you like it? We would prefer, we must go through many new cars, new opportunities, promotions, bonus, money, new houses. Nobody says we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. When he speaks of the kingdom of God here, it speaks of our destiny, our relationship with God, our abiding relationship with God, our union with God. There is a level of glory that all of us are called into. There is a level of inheritance, spiritual inheritance. There is a destiny for all of us. You are not meant to be just like who you are and who I am today. There is that kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. The realm of God. Kingdom in its Greek word, basilia, means the realm, the place, the spirit realm where Jesus ruled. If you are in that realm, you are the subject. And you say God is ruling 100% in your life, that is the kingdom life. Amen. I'm sure that's the purpose why your beautiful church called yourself Kingdom City. Right? It has to be a kingdom in the city. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? So the disciples say the first door is the door of tribulations. Not so nice, huh? You and I have to first let that settle in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that you and I have no choice. Right? It says, must go through many tribulations. So the door to the kingdom is called the door of tribulations. How you wish is a different door, right? But that is the truth of the Bible. Amen. I lead you to another part where Jesus said, remember Jesus said, if you follow my words, if you obey, the rain comes. Do you remember that? You don't remember. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Okay, if you have found it, you read one verse and let another person read another verse. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Go. Whoever has found it, go. 24, 25, 26, 27. Just read one verse at a time.
Therefore,
go.
a wise man who built his house on the rock.
35, anyone?
And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
36.
Mommy?
Everyone who hears this good saying of mine and does not do them will be like foolish man who built his house on the sand.
37.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and the beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Do you discover the interesting part of this thing that Jesus said? Jesus said there are two groups of people here, right? One who hears the sayings of Jesus and does them, right?
Yeah.
What's the other? Who's the other group? Verse 36. They hear the sayings, don't do them, right? If you open your eyes wide, it says, whether you do that, whether you obey Jesus or you don't obey Jesus, the storm still comes. Right? Don't think that, oh, I'm such a good Christian. I obey, I do everything well, right? Here Jesus clearly says, whether you obey, you don't obey, the storm still comes to us. It speaks about the inevitability of storms in our lives. I had to hammer this into your spirit. Okay? So that when something bad happens, some sufferings come, some trials come, you won't be shocked because Jesus said it will come. And what will happen? The wind will, what kind of storm will come? The rain will descend. It will hit your roof. The flood will come. It will hit your foundation. The wind will blow. It will hit the side of your house. And that is what we call the perfect storm. It hits every part. Nowhere is missing. It hit your roof, that's your rain. Flood, it hits your foundation. It hits your window, the wind blow. As if it is not clear enough, this is the scriptural truth. Are you blessed?
Yes.
All these people are blessed because of suffering. I don't know whether you say you are blessed or just because you say you are. But anyway, let's go on. 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said something very interesting. He said, beloved, in verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. I'm sure all here are not strange, because after we have looked at the two verses, you know that there are trials in our lives. Amen. But it says in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. What am I trying to say here? This verse also points to another foundational truth, where actually Christians, we are called to fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus. Do you know this is what Paul said? I want to know Jesus, the power of his resurrection, right? All of us want that. How the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Apostle Paul wanted that. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, I long to know the power of his resurrection. But he did not stop there. He said, and the fellowship of his suffering. A person who knows God doesn't only know the power. Like Paul, why was he so powerful in his ministry? Why the epistles that he wrote last until today? He knew not just the power, he fellowshiped in the sufferings of God. He fellowshiped in the sufferings of God. In the Bible, the doctrine of baptisms, you have baptism of water, you have baptism of spirit, you have baptism of fire, you have baptism of suffering. When the two disciples, the mother say, hey, can my son sit at your right hand? We like that, right? Next time, can my son sit at the right at the kingdom? Then Jesus asks, can you endure the baptism that I will go through? Wow. Wow. So God entrusts each of us to partake. Partake means to be a part of the suffering of Christ. Amen. Amen. So now that we have seen many verses that tells us the first door is a door of trials, suffering, difficulties that sometimes we think is the devil. Right? But from reading the verses, it appears that God can allow trials, God can orchestrate sufferings in our lives. Okay, but the wisdom is to know the difference between the two. But I want to draw your attention to a very nice phrase at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. You know, Peter described the trials that we go through as what? What is the adjective that he used to describe your trial, my trial?
Fiery.
Means what? Full of fire. Full of fire. If you have been following the news lately, California is suffering wildfire. Are you following the news? Oh, all of you know. You don't know, some don't know. California, the wildfire has been ongoing for a long time. Thank God Bethel Church there in Redding is safe. They are trying to be a center for the Red Cross, you know, for people. It's coming very near, but they are praying it shouldn't, because wildfire is not normal in Malaysia. Where do you all come from? Huh?
Yeah.
Do you have wildfire there? No, I don't think so. Huh? So these are all in Western countries, I think.
Even in Portugal right now, actually.
Portugal also wildfire?
Indonesia is not wildfire, it's burnt.
Yeah. Indonesia is different. Indonesia is like haze. You know, they purposely open burn the palm plantation.
Right? Australia a lot. Yeah.
Wildfire also. Whenever they have desert and all that. But if you study science, wildfire is a natural part of the natural ecosystem. You and I don't know because we don't have that there. Here, right? But wildfire or forest fire is a natural event that happens in cycles. It happens. But sometimes it runs out of control. It destroys houses, it kills people. Like in California, I think it has killed 8 persons. One grandmother, 2 grandchildren, 1 fireman, I cannot recall now. That's what I read a few days ago. So it can run out of control and cause casualties. But when I read about forest fire, actually, it is something good. If it is not out of control, because a forest or a big forest, it requires fire in order to clean up the forest floor. If the forest floor is full of bush and full of all kinds of growth, the sun cannot reach the forest floor. So it is important to have wildfire or forest fire because it can clean forest floor. Number two, when you have wildfire, when you have forest fire, it kills the disease, the germs, the insects that kill, the weeds that kill the trees. So because of the fire, in fact, they have done a research and said there are more plants that die out of infections rather than die out of fire. So actually, fire is good. Forest fire is good until it went out of control. So it can kill disease, kill insect, kill weeds. And guess what? After fire, after many days, the fire ends, right? It becomes what? Ash. And ash is a good fertilizer. You never thought of that, right? Fire is good. It also cleans clutter. That means, like I say, it cleans the forest floor, and as well as all the clutter over the wild forest. When it clears up the clutter, it allows fertility of other plants, other trees, other species to grow. Right? And then lastly, guess what? Some species of plants and trees require fire in order for the seed to sprout and germinate. There can be some seeds, the plant seed or tree seed, that will lie dormant there for years. Nothing will happen. The seed is there, full of potential. Nothing happens. You won't get a tree, you won't get anything until a fire comes. Because of the fire, because of the smoke, it creates an optimum condition for the seed to break and life to sprout out and a new species to grow. you don't believe me, go home and Google. You may be thinking, what do you know about forest fire? I do not know much. I did a research, and these are all the benefits of wildfire. Isn't it interesting? What did Peter say? Consider it not something strange. The fiery trial. What am I trying to bring you and I to? Consider it not strange. Every trial, every suffering, every difficulty that you and I go through has a purpose. You and I need to know that. Otherwise, without knowing a purpose, you cannot go through it. You'll be thinking, oh, God has forgotten about me. What's going on? Huh? God has left me. God has punished me. I didn't go to church last week. I didn't pray for 3 days. Before I eat just now, I forgot to pray. God is out to punish me. We all have all these funny ideas about God. Do you? You don't? Some people have all these funny ideas. Oh, yeah, must be something I said just now. Oh, must be 2 years ago I did that. God is out to punish me. But if you look at wildfire, just like Peter said, don't consider it strange. The fiery trial. When your life goes through fire, don't consider it strange because it has a purpose. It has a purpose. You must receive that conviction in your heart. Whatever I go through, if it is a suffering, if it is a trial, a tribulation, it has a purpose. In the Bible it says, if the people of God does not have vision, you will dwell carelessly. Many young people don't know what to do in life. I cannot be a doctor, I cannot be a lawyer, I don't have money to do business, I cannot do this, do that. So they dwell carelessly. No vision in life. I don't know what to do. If I can find this job, I do know. I cannot find a job, I stay at home. That's not good. That's what the Bible says. Don't have a vision. That's why all these principles in the Bible, all great corporations, they copy from the Bible. They have vision and mission. Don't think that it's a world thing. They draw from the wisdom of the Bible. Why every corporation has a vision, has a mission? They know that if a corporation doesn't have a vision, all the workers will be dwelling, doing things carelessly. So a business, a small business, a corporation, everything must have a vision. So whatever you go through, your suffering, your trial, your difficulty, you must know there is a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what happened. A wildfire can happen naturally because there are so many benefits of it. It can happen naturally. And because there are so many benefits, in fact, in America or in some other places, they invoke or they create the wildfire by themselves. It's called controlled fire. They use an equipment just to create a fire in the forest, but they control it within a certain perimeter. So you see, God can allow fires to happen in our lives, which the source and the origin could be the devil. Like Job. Job came and asked God, God, I touch this child of yours, surely he will not love you anymore. God said, okay, God allowed the devil's plan to proceed. That did not originate from God. But there can be also controlled fire. God engineered circumstance in your life. God engineered circumstance out of misunderstanding, out of certain defect in your health, certain trials happen. So whether it is from the devil, whether it is from God, we want to be comforted that God is in control. We do not want to glorify the devil. It must be the devil. Devil is greater than God. No. Whether it's from the devil, it's from God. You see, even if it is from the devil, God allowed it. If God does not allow it, it will not happen in your life. We must have that wisdom to know that if God does not allow it, it will not happen. You mean God cannot stop devil? Surely he can. So I want you to look at this verse, Remember, at least memorize it. When there is fire, there is fireman. That's not the verse, okay? You can't find that in the Bible. When there is fire, there is always fireman. That is the faithfulness of God. Turn to Psalm 34, verse 19. I want all of you to read this and memorize this. Okay? Psalm 34, verse 19. You found it? Whatever version you have, Psalms 34, verse 19, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Hallelujah. You have to say it again, declare it, make it long, memorize it. One more time, let's read it. 1, 2, go.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
There will be many afflictions. It is already like a... You want many promises of blessing? You want promises of breakthrough? Here is the promises of many afflictions. You don't want to claim this promise, right? But it is there for you. It says that it is not to the wicked, but to the righteous. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means you and I, we are righteous because of the death of Jesus. Are you following me? What is the promise? There will always be firemen. Thank God for the firemen. Okay, there will always be firemen. What does it say? Who's the fireman there? God will deliver us from them all. He gives you many affliction, but all will be delivered. That must be your confidence. Who's the fireman?
Lord.
God. Don't be mistaken. God can use Brother Joseph to put out the fire, but the fireman is not Joseph. It's God. Many people make the mistake. Oh, that pastor must... help me. Although this person can help me. Or this method. If I do this method, if there is this formula, it will work in my life. Not necessarily. Behind the formula, behind the pastor, behind what the success, the breakthrough that other people had, is the source. It's the fireman. It's God. So never hit the wrong source. Many people hit the wrong source. They get disappointed, discouraged, don't want to go to church. Right now, this one doesn't work. Who says it will work? God never promised. God said He will deliver. He didn't say Joseph will deliver. Sorry, Joseph. You sit here, easy to make. Use you as an example. He said, you go back and cry. No, Joseph is a strong man. Hallelujah. Memorize it. Psalms 34, verse 19. God, if you are in the midst of trial, God will deliver me. That's the Bible. That's a promise. If you're not in the trial, fine. At least now you memorize it. When the trial comes, it's not if the trial comes, it's when. Some of you may be thinking, praise God, now I'm so happy. Yes, God is a good God. He gives us vacation. He gives us holiday. Tax holidays. It's okay. God is not someone who always put you in the fire, your whole life, you know. Don't know what is happening. Fire after fire. No, God is a very good God. One fire, you do vacation for a while. Wow. Nothing happened. Praise the Lord. I can go to church. If it rains, I don't go to church. You know, and if it floods or anything, I don't go to church. Oh, suddenly trial come. Hurricane come, I also go to church. That is human nature. Amen. Amen. So just now we say there is a purpose. What is the purpose? Let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. There are the three purposes in whatever that God does. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. This was shared by Pastor Moses Day when he came here. He said the purpose of the command, the purpose of the charge is what? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Who can tell me the three purpose of whatever that we go through, the trials that we go through?
Love
from
a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
What are the twin purposes that God always try to achieve in your life? Love and faith. Tell your neighbor, love and faith. That is what God is aiming at. Love and faith. Okay? Love and faith. If you remember just now we read Acts, you know, the disciples came, he exhort them to continue in faith, he said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. When he said that in Acts 14, he said, he encouraged them to continue in faith. So two things God will work on in our lives, faith and love. Hallelujah. This is the beautiful part. Just to show you another verse. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's okay, it's not a fire. It's not a fire. It's not a fire. 1 Peter chapter 1. Come.
1 Peter
chapter 1. Verses 6 to 9. Okay, let's read the four verses. Let's read the four verses. So 6, 7, 8, 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start. Whoever found it, start with verse 6. Verse 7. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7.
These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much strength and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world.
Next.
Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see me, have been doing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory.
And verse 9.
Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
You see, when you go through fiery trials, what is being tested is your faith. Your faith, which is more precious than gold. The genuineness of your faith, it has to be tested by fire. You can say, I have faith. When it goes through fire, do you still have faith? The fire will tell, right? You can say, oh, I'm wearing a real gold. Goes through fire, it melts. It's not real gold. Hello. Whatever you do, you can cheat me. You can cheat your pastor, you can cheat your wife, your spouse, or whatever. You cannot cheat God. One day, God will test everything that you do. Go through fire. Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it precious stone? This will last for eternity. Or is it hay, wood, and stubble? You and I, we live on this earth, we can cheat each other. Nobody knows what is inside you. Nobody knows what is inside me. But as you go through life, God is merciful. While you're on this earth, we don't have to wait until you go to hell. You are going through fiery trials on earth to test the genuineness of gold inside you. What is the gold? We'll look at that in a deeper way, but I just want to develop this. Very important. What is the purpose? The purpose of all that you go through the trials is to, one, faith, number two, is love. Is to test us. Is there a lack of faith? Is there a lack of love? Next verse, I need you to go through all these verses so that you know this is consistent throughout the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. You see, when you go through trial, it's a testing of your faith. It's not testing your talent, it's not testing your riches. You know, when you go through financial problem, it's not testing your riches. When you go through health problem, it's not testing anything else. Whatever kind of trials you go through, relationship, financial, health, any kind of trials you go through, it's the same test. It's the same one and only test. Test of faith, test of love. Do you see that? Right? Count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. If that patience have its perfect work, you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? Are you following me thus far? All right? Sometimes you have a wildfire. It's a trial. It's all that you go through. Sometimes there is another different type of fire. Come with me to James again. James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it introduces us to another type of fire starter. Who likes? Another type of arsonist. It is called the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Whoa! Isn't that scary? You can have a fiery trial, your circumstances, your finances, or whatever. Or you can have a trial that came from tongue. What do I mean by tongue? Words that you hear. Hurtful words. And sometimes it is just not that. What you hear one time, it gets stuck in your mind. 10 years down the road, the same words create a fire inside you. The same word sets up, burns up the forest inside you. You see that? And these words can be from man and can be from the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. Chapter 6 verse 16 or 16 says, you must put on the shield of faith to what? To quench the fiery flaming arrows of God. Tongues from man, tongues from devil. Sometimes he can drop a thought of fear in you. Hey, what's happening to my son now? He can drop a word of fear that troubles you, that ignites a great flame inside you. A fiery dart. Tongue of devil. Just a thought. Yo, the fear creates, what will be the future of my son? What will be the future of my husband? Creates a whole fire, and you go through your whole life. Some people go through entire life hearing the same words. It can be a word of hurt, that cause pain, that cause bitterness, that cause unforgiveness. And these words keep haunting you inside. And it came from a tongue, a small thing called a tongue. Maybe the person who said it could have forgotten what he said. But he carried that word. And that word keep inflicting wound into your heart, inflicting wound into your soul. And what is the antidote? You must have a shield. Same thing. Everything that you go through is to test the genuineness of your faith. Only your faith can quench the fiery dart. When the words of fear comes, when the words of worry comes, we get to faith now. Because of modern Christianity that has a lopsided view of faith. Now people don't understand what's faith. The only thing faith is a way to get something I want. Do you want to be blessed? You must have faith. You want to be a millionaire? You must have faith. You want to get something? You must have faith. Not wrong, but only one side. Like your coin in your wallet, faith has two sides. Faith is not just something you have to have something. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is that? That is spoken in the context of a relationship. Why must you please someone if there's no relationship? Whatever I do not. But why must you go and please that one? Because it is spoken in the context of a relationship. Faith speaks of relationship. How much I know my God that I say I believe in. How much I know His name, His nature, His character, and how much I trust Him. When trials come. When the arrow comes, a thought of fear suddenly dropped into your mind. How much I trust the God whom I believe? Do I trust the God whom I believe more than the thoughts that come? That is the testing of the genuineness of your faith. And this faith comes from a relationship with God. Christianity is not just learning things to get something. You know, everybody, you know, I pray, I get something, I'm happy. Life is not like that. Hello? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Jesus knocked at the door of your heart. Jesus came. Jesus died. For what? We say that, oh, I'm free, I'm set free. My sins are forgiven. Now I can live whatever I want. You and I have missed the gospel. When you think that, oh, now I'm free, I can go to heaven, I can live whatever I want. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, I knock at the door of every heart. Whoever hears the knocking, open the door. It never ends there. I will come in. I will sit down. I will fellowship. If you have been in sin, you have been in bondage, you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, you become a Christian today. Not so that, oh, I'm free. You have missed it. You are delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light to fellowship with God. To get to know God. To worship God. Oh, I'm healed already now. Oh, I'm healed. I don't have sickness already. It doesn't end there. If you end there, you missed it. Then things will continue to trouble you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear it, you respond to God, it doesn't end there. Jesus wants to come in. You can know Jesus. You can hear His voice. You and I are supposed to see Him. The end time generation, the younger generation, longs for something real. Every day they wear the VR or whatever virtual reality. They see things are so real. You tell them about Jesus, I cannot see Jesus. Why should I believe? This challenges your faith, my faith. Can you see Jesus? Can you hear His voice? Your relationship with God must be real. When Jesus said, I want to come in, I want to talk to you, that's real. It's not imaginary. It's not coming to church, see what the pastor can say, whether I like what he say or not. You must, by yourself, here, in your workplace, you must be able to know before the boss calls you to the office. You must know what is the problem in the office. Before something hit your office, I tell my boss. How many times I told my boss, I have dreams. I know this company is going to fall. I know this company, but what will happen? Not because I'm spiritual, not because I'm whatever, holy or whatever. This is your calling. This is your destiny, my destiny. This is your inheritance. This is the relationship God is talking about. Why? You are also bought with the normal, natural religion Christian. I'm just a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. I go to church. This is what I do. You missed Him. Jesus said, I knock at the door so that I can come in, I can talk with you face to face. You can hear my voice. Wow. That is Christianity. If all this while your Christianity is just very boring, you missed it. God wants to get to know you. Really. You have to open your heart, tell Him that your deepest secret, and He will in turn tell you His deepest secret. I was shocked when I have those dreams. I told my boss, until my boss one day said, hey, next time whatever dream you have, you tell me. You tell me first. Before the company was set up, I had a dream that the company will close down. So after the company was set up, 2-3 years down the road, it closed down. Interesting life. But I know it's got nothing to do. You know how did I get the dream? Do you want to know? You want to know the secret? I sleep. Can you sleep? Dreams come through sleeping, but I didn't do any mumbo jumbo. I was sleeping. Amen.
Amen.
But I spent time with God. So how do we get there? Oh, because that is Christianity. Okay? You must catch that. You must catch that. You must not think that Christianity is so boring. It's a religion that always tells me, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, I cannot drink, I cannot do this, I cannot join my old colleagues, I cannot do this anymore. That is your Christianity. You'll find it very boring. But Christianity is an adventure. It's a journey you take on with the Holy Spirit to know Him, to know God, to know His heart, and make Him real wherever you are. You step into the office, you should be able to shift the atmosphere of the office. If it is an office full of gossiping atmosphere, you step there, people stop. How come they stop gossiping? That's your calling, that's my calling. That's kingdom. If it is a gossiping office, like, the moment you go in, like, good morning, everyone. Oh, we are just talking about you. Right, talk about the devil and your peers. So I'm just giving you a few examples. All it talks about is you must have a shield of faith. Do not know what this shield of faith is. In the cartoon you see it's a tiny shield of faith. I think it is. Everybody is given a seed of faith. It is a small shield. This shield can grow. This shield can grow. In the original word for shield, it has the root word kaira, which is door. Wow. You go through the door of tribulation, you must go through the door of faith. You know the times of old when they have a shield, it is the size of at least 4 feet. They can just hide behind the shield, they are safe. But it's not good enough. You say, I'm a Christian, I have faith already. It's your relationship with God. And there is a mention in the Old Testament, it says, make sure you oil your shield. In the olden days, those soldiers who bring shield, they have a small jar of oil. To make sure that when they go for battle, they need to oil the shield to make it supple. Because the olden days shield are made of many layers. Inside are the hide of animal and it's flexible. So when the fiery darts come, it will not break. It needs to continue to be supple and they need to apply oil. Your relationship with God must be fresh, must always receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me I have faith, I have faith. Prove it when the test comes. The testing of the genuineness of your faith. When something hit your family, when something hit your health, what shows? Trials shows what is inside you. In a desert, with 10 people, 10 sandwiches, everybody happy, right? Desert, right? You have 10 people, you have 10 sandwiches, everybody happy, can have a party. The desert, 10 people, 2 sandwiches. You begin to see the real nature of your friend. Can you imagine with me? 10 people in the desert, only 2 sandwiches. Oh, the eyes looking at the sandwich. But if normal days, everybody hallelujah, right? You come to, yeah, you go to connect group, everything hallelujah. Because 10 people, 10 sandwiches. We are all good brothers and sisters. We are all saints. You know, call me saint. 10 people, desert, 2 sandwiches. Your real nature come out. Suddenly out of nowhere, come out. There is mine. I first claim it in the name of Jesus. It can be very spiritual also. No? Claim it first in the name of Jesus. Find this first. Everything gone, all your saintliness, all your holiness, all gone. Trials reveal your true inner self. What normal circumstances cannot reveal, that is what it means. The testing of the genuineness of your faith. When something hits you, then you know, hey, I don't know who is God. Grandma, when I was young, the church wants to send me somewhere and say, hey, you go and pray about it. Yeah? Whether God wants you to go. I go back and say, I pray about it, whether God wants me to go. I don't know how to hear God's voice. You know, when I was there, it reveals a lack. I said, huh? How do I open up the Bible like that? It revealed a lack in me. I was shocked. I just need to pray whether is it God's will to go. Don't know lah. Simply lah. Take daily bread. See today what the Bible says. I take this other daily bread. Daily, after daily bread finish, daily light. After daily light finish, daily whatever lah. Now you have many, many devotional, right? Daily life, daily bread, daily...
Daily journal.
Daily roti, daily whatever. Why you all say the different thing? Go, don't go. Die. So when you are thrown into a trial, it reveals your heart. Right? When my wife gave birth, when we have our third daughter, it was a trial for us. We were shocked. And we'll talk about it another time. And it revealed inside me. When we saw the condition of our daughter, revealed the condition. What came out from my mouth? I said, you're a beautiful daughter. You're a beautiful child. I take authority in Jesus' name. Fine. It just comes out from me. And then the doctor said, wow, listen, what kind of a Christian is this? Times of trial reveal what is inside you. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Reveal who are the true, what's his name? David. Daniel. Yes. Daniel. Who's the true? Daniel. Daniel, the three friends. Remember Daniel, the three friends? Thrown into the fire furnace? Abednego? Thrown into the fire furnace? Fire, right? What happened to them? Nothing happened to them except the chains that bound them. Wow. Wow. Wild forests kill off the insect, chase away the wild animal, chase away the peacock. And the peacock, what is that? Woodpecker. That's woodpecker, right? Woodpecker that pack in your life, your heart. Every time you pack in the hole, until your hole, all everything, nerve also come out, all come out, nothing. When the fire comes, the woodpecker also chase away. That's the purpose of the fire. The chain that was divine, the Daniel's three friends, broken. They were fine, but the bondages are broken. That is a beautiful purpose of wildfire. Wow. Kill them. The Bible says, sons, have you ever thought about the parable of the sower? It says, some seeds fall on this, some seeds fall on that, some thorns come, then eat up, right? Have you ever thought, what if your heart has thorn? Not everybody's heart is a good soil, right? So what will happen if your heart has thistle, has thorns? Have you ever thought? What sent fire? Because of your desire, you want. God sends fire to burn up the thorns and the thistles. Wow. So that the seed is still there. It doesn't choke the seed, it kills all that, and now because of the fire, the seeds grow. Many of you have the gift of spirit within you. The things that God has placed deep inside you, you do not know. You are born with a I'm not talking about talent, I'm talking about spiritual inheritance, spiritual destinies, spiritual callings in your life that lay dormant inside you. You do not know. Inside you, you know, I'm born in this world, I know there is a purpose in my life, but I do not know what is it. I just go to office, I do my work, but inside me, I feel there's something, a deep hunger. There must be something that God wants me to do. I think about my children, I do this, I go to church, but there's something that lies dormant there. When the fire comes, cause the seed to break, to sprout. Many gifts of spirit, many destinies, many callings are birthed in the fire. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the beautiful thing about the fire. So do you want to go through tribulations now? Are you happy? Well, we have a willing volunteer. There is no choice, okay? We don't need volunteer. God will. God knows what to do. And if you are in the midst of the trial, ask yourself. Always ask God, what are you revealing? Because what is testing? Testing also means purify. You know gold?
Yeah.
Gold, the more you purify, the more precious it is. Like faith. Purifies means what? When it goes through fire, all the impurities surface. All the unforgiveness come out. All the bitterness come out surface. All the anger comes out into my heart. When trials happen, right? How I respond. Correct or not? Ayo, very angry lah. Oh, it shows what is inside me. Like I say lah, normal times, 10 people, 10 sandwiches, all are saints.
Hallelujah.
We are in the Hallelujah Club. But 10 people, desert, 2 sandwiches, the impurities come. The impurities come. God wants to reveal. God wants to purify. Amen. God wants to purify. So, what do? We cooperate with God. Every time we go to trial, we cooperate with God. God, most of the time, during times of trial, we want the answer very fast. How I wish tomorrow a breakthrough, happy lah. Oh, please, God. There's all every Christian like that, right? Hopefully tomorrow everything will be fine. We think that Christian is a magic. No matter how many times it doesn't happen, we still, God, just one prayer in Jesus' name tomorrow, everything will be right. Doesn't happen, right? It will take as long as we learn the lesson. As long as it takes. But God is a merciful God. We can shorten the times of trial if we cooperate. How do we cooperate? Humility. God, whatever you do, I yield myself to you. I acknowledge it's your hand. Humility. Don't fight God. You will never win one. Humility. God, I humble myself before you. Number two, Lord, what area that you are showing me I lack love? I don't love God. I don't love someone. What area of faith that you are showing me? Hello? Faith means obedience, okay? Faith is not just saying, oh, I know what God wants me to do, but I don't want to do. That's not faith. Faith speaks about hope. Obedience. Sometimes you go through trial, then you read one book, it says, forgive your enemy. Go to church, forgive your enemies. God tell you already, that is your shield coming out already. But you rebel, you disobey. You keep on going through the trials. You keep on the trial and you are not rescued. So the faster you cooperate in humility, in love, in faith, and in obedience. Let's look at the last verse I want to show you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. Can somebody read for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9.
Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
Can you read like from verse 7?
Verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, but also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises.
Hello. Paul said, I go through this trial beyond I can bear. First time I saw Paul say, this is beyond my burden, beyond my strength. I despair of life, how I wish I want to die. And I carry the sentence of death, like I'm just like a dead man walking. And finally he realized, why, verse 9, so that I do not, depend on my own strength. Verse 9, what does it say, second part? So that
I do not trust in ourselves.
Easy to say, but can I ask you? We have many ideas how to get into a problem. Want to Google this? Want to ask all that? You can now Google, search Wikipedia, all kinds of things. Yes. You have all the answers. God is the last one. But Paul realized, when all this comes, is to let me know the quicker I surrender God. If you don't step in, I have no answer. But the longer you think I have an answer, I think I will come up with a strategy. I've been through this before. This one not a big deal lah. Other people also can lah. Oh lah, yeah, come on lah. This one, everybody, you have all these things until the thing gets worse and worse. Like Paul said, this is beyond my strength. God does all this not to destroy you, not to destroy me, to let you know, oh, I don't trust in my own strength. This is a very painful lesson that you and I continue to learn. We always, after everything is okay, you say, I can, you know, I break through, I can do this, I can do that. Then go through again. Yeah, I cannot. What is God showing? You can't. You and I can't. That's the fact, that's the truth. I cannot overcome this problem. I cannot. God wants to bring us to the place, God, without you, I can do nothing. Nice to say, but look at our lives. I can do this. I can do that. All I can do. But God will bring you to a place, if you really want to have a real walk with God, God will really bring you to a place until even the smallest thing, everything you do, God, I cannot lead song. God, I cannot preach. God, I cannot pray. I cannot do all this. And when you are in that place, you will see God very real in you. Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you today, if you are in a trial, if you are in a suffering, I want to encourage you. There is a fireman. There is a God who will always deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, you and I must learn that there is a shield that you and I must learn to have. A shield of faith. You must enter through the door of faith. We can do this because Jesus himself has gone through the fire. Jesus died on the cross. He became the ash so that we can have the beauty. So Jesus has taken the first step. Jesus has opened the first door. When we go through it, we go through it with Jesus. Jesus is the door. We go, the just shall live by faith. I go into the suffering with Jesus, with the faith in my heart. Jesus has gone through it before. He has died on the cross. He has gone through the worst fire. He was burned until he became ash. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of God for you and for me. When you think about that, you will know what good thing will God withhold from you. If God has given his son, what good thing does he withhold from you? So you begin to trust God. You say, God, my problem is not so big after all. What you are doing is more important. You are revealing what is in my heart. You are testing the genuineness of my faith. You are calling me deeper to know that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It is real. This is more important now. When I get this right, where is the trial? Where is the suffering? God has given his son. Jesus has gone through the fire to become ash. He will not withhold any good thing from me. I trust you. That's my faith. That's my shield. Shall we rise? Shall we just stand for a while? I just want you to open your heart for a moment. How do you open your heart? You open your heart by just trying to be quiet in your heart. If God, through his Holy Spirit, has spoken to you in whatever you have heard today, there are many things that have been spoken, but probably there are certain things that really touched you inside, and you know God is pointing his finger in some things in your heart. You just want to spend this time. We do not want to bother about the person to our left or our right. It is a time between you and God. You open your heart to God and say, God, I open my heart to you. whatever I'm going through, I know you will deliver me. I know you have a purpose for me. I know there is a purpose in this trial. And God, I want to cooperate with you. What areas are you showing in my life? What areas are you purifying? Are you revealing? What areas of faith that I must know you more? I must trust you more. What areas of love that you are pointing your finger at? Probably I have been rebellious at you, towards you all these years. I never knew it was your hand of love that has guided me into the trials, into the suffering. My brother, my sister, it is the nail-scarred hand that led you, that guided you. He himself has gone through the suffering. He himself has gone through the pain. His hand was scarred by the nail. The same nail-scarred hand wants to hold your hand as you go through the fire. It's not going to destroy you. It's going to break the chains over you. It's going to remove the chains over you. He wants to heal you. He brings to surface your heart. What are the impurities in your heart? So that you can ask God. You can repent. You can ask God to forgive you. When God shows something in your heart, He doesn't come to condemn you. He comes so that you can ask for His forgiveness, so that you can be reconciled to Him. God loves you so much. He's not out to punish you. He's not out to be angry, to destroy you. He's so interested in your life that He has invested Himself in your life so that He can hold your hands. He can walk through this fire with you. When you come up through this fire, you will shine like gold. Your faith will shine purer, much brighter than before. But it will not be the last trial. As long as you have breath, you will see the ways of God in your life. And through it all, you will be able to say, my God is faithful. My God is real. I can trust this God. And when you say that, it carries weight. When you tell other people, hey, my God is real, you can trust Him. It carries authority because you have gone through it yourself. So that is how God molded a vessel. That is how God formed a man of God, a woman of God. That is how God molded our lives. He allows us to go through fire, not to kill us, not to destroy us, but through the fire, we can become more like Him. We can know Him. So I want you to open your heart and talk to Jesus. Open your mouth and talk to Jesus. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to all of us. You don't have to wait for people to pray for you. Wherever you are, if you believe God is here with you, when you open your heart, there will be a flow of His presence. He will begin to minister to you. He will begin to speak to you. He will begin to heal you. He will begin to touch you. Close your eyes. Just talk to Jesus. Break the chain of fear, break the chain of worry in the name of Jesus. Command every spirit of fear, leave in Jesus' name. Command every spirit of worry, go in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand, Lord. Right now, stretch forth your hand. Release your presence, release your love in us. Shikarabasokoroboria. Shekeriberia. You don't have to sing. You just open your heart to God. Call out to Him from your heart. Call out to Him. You must begin to connect to God. You must begin to establish and engage God in your heart. Call out to Him from your heart. With a sincere heart. Say, God, I need you. God, I open my heart to you. God, I need you. No one can help me except you, Lord. You gotta call out to God with a sincere heart. He will meet you. He will meet you. Shira la ma 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 shira la